Today's lesson on the Pastor's Study is entitled Learning to Be Content. Learning to Be Content. And we'll be in Philippians chapter 4 in just a moment. But before we begin our lesson today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. Father, we ask your blessing upon the lesson today. We pray that you would strengthen and encourage the saint of God listening today. And if there be a lost soul today listening that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that they would come to realize their lost condition and need of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them from their sins and secure them a home in heaven. Father, we pray that you would have your will and your way in our lesson today. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. Learning to be content. Philippians chapter 4, let's turn there together. And I want us to begin in verse number 10 and read down to verse 13. And this is what the Word of God has to say. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The Apostle Paul wrote that he had learned the lesson of contentment. Notice in verse 11, what the Word of God says. For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. At the time of the writing of this, Paul was an old man in prison. The weight of years and the weight of his tasks were upon him. The apostle expressed his appreciation to the Philippian saints for their support. He wanted these people to have rewards. Those who minister to God's preachers will share in the reward for the good accomplished. Now, Paul made known, however, that he was not altogether dependent on the gifts of the church at Philippi. He had learned, he said, to be content with little or much. Now, what did Paul mean when he said he had learned to be content? Did he mean one place or thing is as good as another? Ignorance is good as knowledge? Sadness is good as gladness. Poverty as good as riches. Slavery as good as freedom. If so, then the lesson Paul had learned was not useful, was it? But this is not what Paul meant. Paul had learned a heart lesson at the feet of Jesus in the school of experience. You see, contentment is not found in a place or circumstance, nor in a change of places or circumstances. Contentment is of the Spirit. You see, it comes from within and not from without. A contented spirit is like a watch, which is moved up and down and around about, but is not disturbed on the inside. Rather, it keeps on telling the correct time. The Christian, you and I, can expect change. We live in a changing world, but we should not live under the changing circumstances. You see, the word content means to be master of the situation, to be victor, conqueror of the circumstances. Paul lived contently in changing and contrasting circumstances. Contentment, as Paul described it, is one of life's greatest victories. Now, contentment is not a natural disposition. Paul stated he learned to be content. You see, to be content requires much effort, much discipline on the part of the one who wills to be content. We can learn a lesson from nature. Weeds, something undesirable, will grow without cultivation. But fruits and flowers require cultivation. You see, contentment is worth cultivating. One does not get up some morning with a superb education. No, an education requires effort, intense application, and concentration. Likewise, contentment does not suddenly appear in a mysterious, magical way. One does not go to bed complaining and wake up the next morning in a holy state of contentment. That's not the way it happens. Paul learned to be content by working on his discontent. If we are ever content, we too will learn to be content. Notice what the author of the book of Hebrews. He gives two compelling reasons for holy contentment. And I believe that the Apostle Paul was the author under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the book of Hebrews. Now in Hebrews chapter 13, I want you to turn there with me. Hebrews 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, read with me verse number 5. Hebrews 13 verse 5, this is what the words of God have to say. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See? So we see two compelling reasons for holy contentment. The first one is that we're to keep our life free from covetousness. In other words, the desire to have something someone else has. And also to be content with what you have. And for he has said, and that he is Jesus Christ, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See? Here is a special charge. Be content with what you have. Here in Hebrews is a special promise. I will never, what did he say here? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, how did the Apostle Paul learn the lesson of contentment? Let's look at it, okay, together. How did Paul learn the lesson of contentment? Well, first of all, Paul learned to be content by submitting to the inevitable and unavoidable. Now, the apostle was old and in prison when he penned the words, "I have learned to be content." You see, he did not mope, whine, or fret. There are some things that you and I cannot change. Some people live in constant resentment against growing old. But you know what? That does not stop the aging process, but rather makes one grow old faster. Paul submitted to the things he could not change. Now, there's a prayer for serenity some of you may be familiar with that goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. So we see that, first of all, Paul learned to be content by submitting to the inevitable and unavoidable. Second of all, Paul learned the lesson of contentment. He learned it by of accepting the times of adversity, amen, with contentedness and without complaining. Returning to Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. The words of Almighty God say this: I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Amen. Paul suffered. And my friends, how that servant of God suffered. My heart is touched and humbled every time I read this account of his suffering. Let's turn together to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with me, if you would. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verses 24 to 28, we have the account of Paul's suffering. Verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. So at the hands of the Jews, he was whipped 5 times with a whip, with 39 lashes each time. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He suffered shipwreck 3 times. Amen. And he spent a night and a day in the deep, in the water. Verse 26, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. So we see that the Apostle Paul was continually in various types of perils. Amen. But it doesn't end there, does it? We can continue on in verse 27. In weariness, painfulness, watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold, and nakedness. And then he says in verse 28, besides those things that are without, amen, without the church, he says, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So we see he suffered. He suffered at the hands of the non-Christians. Plus, he also had the care of all the churches that he had started. Amen. Now, Paul's attitude when under fire is both an encouragement and a rebuke to you and I. In his service to God, Paul was always the comeback servant. The apostle never expected God to keep him out of trouble, but he expected God to keep him in the midst of trouble. And God did, amen, time and time again. Paul admitted he had difficulties, but he never went down in defeat. Listen to his testimony in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 8 and 9. The words of God say, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Amen. Paul learned, amen, that when circumstances looked bad, he could look up and find grace to turn troubles into triumphs. Paul was committed to the spreading of the gospel, and whatever it cost to accomplish that goal, the apostle was willing to pay the price. The Philippians considered Paul's imprisonment a calamity. Not so with the apostle. He saw it as an advantage. He said his confinement had promoted the proclamation of the gospel. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, and read along with me in verses 12 to 14. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Being in chains seemed incidental to Paul if such chains promoted the cause of Christ. Contented in chains, how could it be? It was because Paul was more interested in magnifying Christ than he was in his own comfort. Now, Paul understood there are enemies of contentment. Paul recognized the enemies of contentment and he dealt with them. Being discontented comes naturally. You don't even have to try to be discontented. The enemies of contentment reside in the depraved Adamic nature. First of all, pride is an enemy of contentment. You see, pride comes naturally. The descendants of Adam think there is nothing too good for them, and when things they think they deserve are withheld from them, the result is discontent. Salvation by grace and all that it involves is the remedy for such a lofty attitude of self. Man is a sinner, and his only hope of deliverance is the grace of God. When this is fully understood and accepted, then man turns from the lofty thoughts of himself. As a sinner, he realizes that far from being treated worse than he deserves, he has been treated better than he deserves. When one accepts the truth concerning his own unworthiness, then pride gives way to humble attitude and gratitude. Gratitude is a giant step towards contentment. Self-centeredness is also an enemy of contentment. By nature, we are excessively fond of ourselves. Our concern for self far outweighs our concerns for others. Therefore, when others possess advantages we do not have, and when others seem to be free of the calamities which befall us, then we experience envy, and envy begets discontent. Our Lord put a control on self-love when he commanded us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Those who obey this command are not controlled by envy and are making progress on the road to contentment. Covetousness. Covetousness is another enemy of contentment. By nature, people have a strong desire for the material things of the world. And the more they get, the more they want. Notice what the Bible says about this. In Ecclesiastes, amen, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in verse number 10. Let's turn there together. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Verse 10, the words of God say this: He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. The riches of the world, my friends, are uncertain riches. Notice with me what the words of Almighty God have to say about this in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5. The words of God say this: Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For certain riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Observe the man whose one goal is making money, and you will see a discontented man. A person who sets his heart and mind on getting rich is disappointed if he succeeds or if he fails. A proud, selfish, covetous man is miserable. On the other hand, a man who is satisfied with the common necessities of life and is laying up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal is a contented man. You see, he's grateful for every blessing, is quick to share his blessing, and is not envious of those who seem to be more blessed than he is of God. This world's possession is not his source of contentment. Now, Paul understood contentment implies freedom from worry or anxiety. You see, a troubled heart given over to worry begets a discontented, miserable person. See? Worry or anxiety hinders one's service to God. Hence, Paul's admonition to the saints at Philippi, Look with me, if you would, back in Philippians chapter 4, in verses 6 and 7, and here we have Paul's admonition to the saints at Philippi about worry and care and anxiety. Amen. Notice, the words of God say, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, in supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And note of the results. Amen. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now the scripture speaks of peace with God and the peace of God, amen, which we just read here in Philippians chapter 4. We read about the peace of God. But there's a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. Now peace with God comes when one turns from sin and looks to Christ for salvation. See? In that way, you're no longer an enemy of God. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, notice in verse number 1 what the words of Almighty God have to say. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." See? In this peace with God never varies. It's the same if we feel good or if we feel rotten. It does not change if we are obedient or disobedient. When we become frustrated and worried, sick, we still have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See? Now, the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, is a different kind of peace. And not all of God's children experience it. The people who enjoy this inner calmness not only trust their eternal destiny to Christ, but they also trust Him in their daily living, in everything. Instead of giving way to worry and anxiety, they, with a thankful heart, go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to supply their needs. And He does, and He gives them a peace that stabilizes their heart and minds. Remember, the same Christ who turns stormy Galilee into a great calm can give peace and contentment to the troubled hearts today. And my friend, He delights in doing so. We're just about out of time on the pastor's study. Next time we'll finish our lesson on here about learning about being content. And just to remind folks, all the lessons on the pastor's study is available on CD. All you need is to drop me a note and request the study by name at the address that you'll be given at the end of this broadcast. And I'll be happy to get that study out to you. Thank you once again for the opportunity to come to you today. Thank you for listening. And until we meet again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. My prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.